Young entertainment professionals.
Work hard, be good to people, and take every chance and opportunity and play gigs. Like, just get out there and go, because you never know what's going to happen.
Letting everything happen naturally is the easiest way. It's how I've developed almost all of my relationships.
The biggest moments in my career have happened from very unlikely situations.
When we first got here, there was really nothing to do after work, and there was nothing to do that connected people. All that started because of,
your work ethic and you just being good at whatever it is you do will take care of the rest.
You're listening to the Young Entertainment Professionals podcast. In this series, we sit down with the people cultivating the entertainment industry and the influence Yup has had on their music industry community. I'm your host, Libby Olerich, and today we have two guests with us. One of Yup's founders, Lee Crable, who is also the senior creative director at Smack Songs. And joining him is Ryan Beaver, who is a country singer-songwriter signed to Smack Songs and BMI. Lee and Ryan have known each other for quite a while, and in this episode, they share their perspectives on industry relationships and how to let opportunities happen naturally rather than trying to force success and career milestones to unfold. This is a great episode to listen to in terms of hearing how a publisher-writer relationship works, what to look for when working towards a pub deal, and a whole lot more. Now to our Yup podcast interview with Lee and Ryan. Guys, welcome to the Yup podcast.
Hello.
Thank you.
You excited?
Very much so.
Are you more excited about this than tomorrow's Bahamas trip?
Yes.
Equal excited.
Good. Good. I love that. Can you each tell a story of how you met, and then I'll guess which one's right?
Okay.
Go ahead, Lee.
Tinder.
You know.
No, I'm kidding. I worked front desk at Seagale.
Yeah.
2009 to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan would visit every once in a while from Texas to write with some of the writers there. I think he had written with Brian Simpson and Don Sampson. And when I moved over to Hori Pro to be a song plugger, they said I could sign somebody. And within my first couple of months there, Wade Bowen, one of the old writers at Seagale, had texted me about Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And said that I should meet with him. So we just started hanging out more.
What about him? Made you sign Ryan?
The song, How About You.
Love it.
Yeah.
Ryan, can you tell the story about that song?
Yeah, sure. So my friend Ben Danaher and I wrote that together.
Awesome.
In my apartment in Austin, Texas at the time. And it was a great day. We got together. I didn't do a lot of co-writing. I don't think Ben did it either.
Mm-hmm.
We got together and wrote that song. And then I put it on a project that I recorded in 2011, something like that. And then both of those records, I believe, ended up with Lee. And he heard it, but I didn't know that. One song. That's all it was.
Mm.
Just the one, I guess.
The one song.
I had other songs, but...
That one.
All it takes is one song.
Yeah.
I love it. So, when did you both move to Nashville?
I moved here June the 3rd, 2013. Mm. I remember that very well because it was terrifying. And I was, like, pulling into town in my U-Haul... Crossing the Tennessee River, wondering if I had made the right decision. So now I'm coming up on being here 6 years, and I love Nashville, and it's one of the best decisions I ever made. And so that's how I remember that. What about you, Lee?
I moved here in 2006.
Okay.
To go to Belmont.
Nice. Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
You were BPO.
I was.
Heard that through the grapevine.
Yeah. Belmont Security, almost 7 years.
How was that? How was that journey?
It was pretty easy. I just worked weekends part-time.
Mm-hmm. Well, when did you get into the music industry?
Well, I had internships, and I had like a little part-time side gig with the band Little Big Town. My first internship was at a place called RLM Mission Management, and Little Big Town was one of the clients. And I ended up kind of befriending them through that internship. And throughout college, I kind of did some odd jobs for them and helped them out during events and picked up dry cleaning and house set, dog set, stuff like that. But my first real full-time job was in 2009 at Seagale.
When did you know that, like, publishing was the area of the industry that you wanted to go into?
Before I moved here, I'd bought a book that had, like, all the careers that you could do in the music industry. And I read that, and I saw music publishing, and I kind of had the idea that that's what I wanted to do. But when I went to Belmont, I made it a point to try a record label and management and publishing, and that's what I did, and I realized that I liked publishing the best.
What? So for those
industry professionals that want to get into publishing and don't really know what kind of personality you should have or what kind of work ethic. Can you talk about that in your experience?
My experience, it's a lot of hours. It's a lot of odd hours. You got to go to a lot of shows, and you got to be active and make sure that you're in front of people a lot. A lot of the success that I have had has been by going to Key West or Vegas and hanging out with people and developing a relationship with them, or just going to Red Door, or going to Winners, going to a show. A lot of my relationships in this business kind of start from those situations. So it's a lot of going out. It's a lot of hours, but it's all worth it in the end, I'd imagine.
For sure. Yep. Was obviously a part of that.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew Cohen, a guy I went to college with at Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was on this podcast.
He was on this podcast.
Yeah,
he was. My friend for almost 12 years, I guess, now.
Love it.
11, 12 years, so, yeah.
And then how did you get involved with Yep? You played a Rewind show or two, right?
Yeah, I just got asked, you know, through knowing people in town. I'm not sure if I played one of those before I moved or after I moved, but, you know, I met people like Andrew Cohen, who was from Texas. We went to the same school for a little while before he transferred up here to Belmont, and Mark Rucker, and then knowing Lee and just trying to get in front of people. I'm sure I played several of those at this point, I feel like.
Yeah. So, songwriting. Talk about your inspirations. What led you to pursue that?
I grew up in a house full of music, like a lot of people, I'm sure. And my dad had a great record collection, and my mom played piano.
Oh, nice.
And a bunch of that music was singer-songwriters, so I really took a shine to some of the early guys I heard, guys and girls. So it was like Jackson Browne and John Prine, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, George Strait. You know, I mean, being in from Texas, you got a heavy dose of country music,
mm-hmm.
whether you liked it or not. But then the songwriters, I sort of, you know, always found them a little more interesting and their, you know, their crafting of a song. So I think that a lot of that growing up, being around music, I felt like I had a connection with it. And that led to, you know, learning instruments and being in bands and finally realizing if I wanted to do anything, I needed to write the song. And then there was no one to record it or sing it if I didn't go out and sing it. So then I got behind the guitar and mic and went out and started doing it and really enjoyed it. And one thing led to another, and I was in a van and in a band and years of traveling, playing shows and every different situation possible, trying to learn from every gig and playing, and you know, just I can't even count at this point. But the writing element of it was always something that, you know, I really truly enjoyed and wanted to get better at.
So the Texas music scene, was like that ever part of your journey, or was
absolutely,
were you always focused on Nashville being your end goal?
No, you know, to be honest, we had this great music scene and there were people out there hustling, you know, their own music, and there were fans buying it. And I saw it as an opportunity to go out and get my feet wet. I was very green, you know, had no idea what I was doing. And that that scene allows people to come in and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of it's just a hustle mentality. So I kind of played with a lot of those guys, toured with them, played festivals. We all, it's very, you know, family oriented. So a lot of the people, you know, ended up knowing each other and hanging out when you're not on the road or you're not playing shows, and then becoming fans of each other's music, which in my circumstance, a good friend, Wade Bowen, was kind enough to sort of pass my music along to people here in town. And, you know, over the years, I kind of knew about
Nashville. He still does that. He still
To this day, he still is like, you need to check this person out, or have you heard this?
Mm-hmm.
We'll text all the time, have you heard this tune or that tune? And, you know, that scene is so amazing, and it has its own world. It has its own way about it. But Nashville, I felt like, had a different infrastructure. It was a little bit different how it ran. I saw it as more of a challenge for me. I had hit a point in my touring career where I was ready to be challenged again. as a singer, player, writer. I saw that here in town. So ultimately, I sort of packed up and moved here. So, yeah.
So how did y'all end up working again at SMAC? So, like, what was the in-between time mm-hmm. there?
I left Tory Pro in 2016. Yeah, 2016. I went to from Seagale to Hori Pro Entertainment Group, which is a company that's based out of Japan. It's had a Nashville office here for almost 30 years, I imagine. And I worked with Ryan that entire time through Hori Pro. Moved over to SMAC. I was at SMAC for about a year, and Ryan was looking for a publishing deal. And Shane, he actually randomly at a was it 10 Pan South.
Yeah. Nice.
Randomly was added to a show with Walker Hayes, and Shane was at that show and saw Ryan perform and said, hey, we need to talk about Ryan tomorrow. And so we talked about it and said, call him and see what he wants.
That's so amazing. That's kinda how I didn't know Tim Penn South was involved.
Mm-hmm. It was very much involved. And to be honest, that story is a great story and one I love to tell. I've played hundreds and hundreds of shows, and moving to town, I've written a ton of songs. And at times you get tired, you get overworked, you get jaded. And I got asked to do that 10 Pan round. I had been a part of 10 Pan for a couple of years at this mm-hmm. point, but I was in between deals and trying to figure out what I needed to do, and was meeting with a lot of great people in town and publishers. There were a lot of people in this town who were wanting to work with me, and I still hold them in high regard. But something in me just didn't feel like I had found the match, the place. And I'd worked with Lee for 4 years, and at this point, I think we hadn't worked together for 7 or 8 months. Mm-hmm. And I was just playing shows and hustling a record that I had made called the RX. And I got asked to do the 10 Pan round, and I was having to travel the next day. I was on a first flight out to another gig, and I really didn't want to do it. I'll be completely honest. I just said, I'm really busy. I have to leave early in the morning. I can't do it. My friend Matt McGinn called me back and said, hey, can you just play? It's me and Walker, and we need you on this. And I said, man, I can't. I'm telling you, I've said yes to too much. And he said, okay. And then a week goes by, and I think it's probably a couple days before the gig at this point. He called me again a third time and was like, I will buy you beers. Just come play 3, 4, 5 songs.
Wait, I think during that round, people kept buying you all beers.
It's very possible.
There was this one that like kept walking up to the stage and leaving beers.
It's very possible. Yeah. I've been a part of some amazing 10 Pan rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't wait to be able to talk about this, looking back. But this particular phone call, the third time him asking me, it just hit me like hard that I moved to town to play music, and I moved to town to write songs, and I moved to town to be in the middle of it and doing it. And I was frankly like, man, 16-year-old you would kick your ass right now for saying no to this. And so I did the gig, and then I had no idea, but that night Shane had come out and heard a couple songs, and it led to a conversation between Lee and Shane, and then ultimately to me joining the SMAC family where I am now. So it was, when people ask you for advice, you really don't know what to say other than work hard, be good to people, and take every chance and opportunity and play gigs. Like, just get out there and go, because you never know what's going to happen. Some of the biggest moments in my career have happened from very unlikely situations. So that's what I, can tell them.
Put it on a coaster.
Yeah.
That's a coaster quote.
Yeah.
What elements of a publishing company, like, were you looking for? I mean, what would you recommend to songwriters who are trying to look for a publishing deal, whether or not they should?
Sure. I would say, this is only for me. The first deal is a very big deal, and you should take the opportunity that feels right with a person that is your champion
mm-hmm.
or a company that they feel like they're going to get behind you, and you should work your tail off. You should write hundreds and hundreds of songs, and you should just be grateful and, learn. Maybe when it comes to the second or third deal, you're going to be a little more focused at this point. You're going to probably have a better understanding about who you are as a writer, who you want to be.
Right.
You're going to have a little bit of a crew, people you write well with. You're going to know what you've done that's worked, what you haven't done, maybe that you want to do. So I think you can be a little pickier, maybe is the word there. Mm-hmm. If you're you could also be too picky and not have an opportunity out there. I mean, I think you sort of have to. I think for me, it was always a gut heart thing. Mm-hmm. If I sort of always go with the gut, whatever feels right. For me in this deal, it was an opportunity to work with Lee again, who had been my song plugger, like you said, at Hori Pro for 4 years. And I knew that was going to be icing on the cake because, he knew how I worked and I knew how he worked. And I think we had a little bit of a great rapport. And yeah, I mean, it's so circumstantial. So I would say just depending on where you are in your career, it depends.
Find your cheerleader. Find somebody who's as passionate about your stuff as you are, your champion.
Speak more to that from a publisher standpoint.
I mean, you're going to have, if you got a lot of deals on the table, if you got a lot of opportunities in front of you, you want to find the person that's going to go talk to Shane McAnally about that writer. Courtney Crist, who I used to work with, is a fantastic song champion, and she'll go up to anybody at any time to talk about Sarah Turner or Mike Walker or whoever she's working with at the time, and just beat down the door for them to make it work because she's just as passionate about their music as the writers are. And it's finding somebody like that to go out there and do that legwork for you.
And for the industry professionals that want to get in on the business side, any kind of advice you can offer in terms of like the internship period, how to maintain those relationships, what you should learn.
I mean, it's all, when you get an internship, it's doing the small things that matter. Don't try to, do the things that we don't expect you to do. We don't expect you to set up a co-write. We don't expect you to pitch a song. We don't, we have people to do that. We want you to do the small things. That's how I'm going to remember you. If the refrigerator's always full, if the writers are always taken care of, that's what we want those interns for. And if you're missing out on that part, if you're not taking care of the writers and you're trying to do this other thing, then I'm not going to probably like what you're doing as an intern. So, do the best internship you can. Again, it's kind of finding the company where you're going to be able to do the most and learn the most. Mm-hmm. I don't think you should go find the biggest company or the company that's willing to pay you. It's find the company that's going to let you do the most and learn the most.
Is there something that you learned from one of your internships that you can remember?
Absolutely. Just, I interned for Sarah Johnson. Sarah Canaby is her name now. She's A&R Broken Bow. I was at a company called Bug Music. And I kind of just got to see how a publisher worked. And she was nice enough to take me to meetings, to let me go through catalogs and say, why pick five songs, why are their favorites, and why do you think that they should be pitched? Or I'm going to pitch songs to Martina McBride. Which one should I bring? She would always do stuff like that. And just get to see how a publishing office works, get to see what the writers do, what times they show up. The writers at the time were Kendall Marvel and Randy Houser and just people like that. So it was really cool just to be around those kind of songwriters and just the everyday aspect of a publishing company. My role at the time was kind of to submit lyrics.
Yeah.
That's all I did. And I was at the front desk, so I got people water and coffee and I submitted lyrics.
So you got to do both small and the somewhat large job.
So I got pretty good at typing lyrics.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What about booking a co-write for you? Have you ever booked two writers together that like you weren't sure if it was going to like work and then it ended up like
all the time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fought pretty hard. I have friends with a guy named Jeremy Spillman and I asked him multiple times to see if he'd write with Ryan and now they write every other week. And that
Amazing.
Was years ago.
He said no for a while though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He's like, I don't know, man, I'm getting Eric Church cuts. I don't know if I can make this work, but
then it happened.
Yeah. Which to be honest, I don't forget that. Like there are people that now are new to town, or maybe they're not at a publishing company, or they're on their journey to start, and I want to sit down with them because I know what they're feeling and what they're going to bring to the table and how hungry they are. So I don't forget that.
So for those that are super eager, do you have any thoughts on what it means to be passionate, to go after what you're going for, but not to be like so eager to the point where it's like too much,
Yeah, I mean, you have to be
like to to let go is what I kind of mean.
Let things happen naturally.
Let them happen naturally.
Don't force them.
Not, yeah.
Feel free to introduce yourself to me if I'm out at a show, but don't linger around.
Right. You know,
it's just like,
because that's awkward.
Just be like, hey, I'm a big fan of Smack. Good to meet you. And walk away. And then the more I see you, the more I'm going to get to know you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we have mutual friends and we're both out, and then all of a sudden we hang out. It's just letting everything happen naturally is the easiest way. It's how I've developed almost all of my relationships. I've never really reached out to a major A&R person when I first started to go for a cup of coffee to get to know them, because they don't want to go to coffee with me.
Right.
So all my relationships happen naturally.
Yeah, I know all my internships in my current job happened just from like people that I knew. Like, I don't think I ever received or went through with an opportunity that was like through email. Like, I just it just never, it ended up always being kind of.
Well, sometimes, we just hired Samantha Sarno and she just cold emailed me to meet one time. But at the time we were actually looking for somebody to possibly work at Smack. So it ended up working out.
Everybody's journey's different.
Everybody's journey's different. But
I mean, I think I know it's easy to say, but being good.
Yeah.
Being good gets you far. I mean, there are writers I still want to write with that I haven't, and all I'm trying to do is be good and get on their radar, you know what I mean? Impress them. I mean, that gets you so far down the road, and Lee's right. You know, nobody wants you bugging them. There's no reason you can't introduce yourself and, you know, hang around, let people know what you do, but then there's a point of, like, don't be overbearing about it. Mm-hmm. You've got to... Your work ethic and you just being good at whatever it is you do will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
So you've both been in Nashville for a while. Favorite venues, things to do. What did you do for fun?
What do I do for fun?
Yeah.
I live in the woods, so, you know. I like to work on my property, you know.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's valid.
I'm such a nerd. I love traveling and you know, I love movies, reading, learning.
Walks on the beach.
Walks on the beach.
Well,
no,
you're going tomorrow.
Yeah,
Bahamas.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm definitely going to think about this when I'm walking on the beach tomorrow. I love to learn because all this stuff seeps into songs. And at the end of the day, we put so many hours and so much energy into music because we are passionate about it. I mean, it's the thing I would want to do, I would be working towards if I was doing another job. I would be trying to make enough money or find enough time to be able to do music. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, I'm going to put everything into that.
Has the industry changed a whole lot within the time that you've been in it, do you think?
Yeah, actually, I was thinking about that the other day, just about how much we put into digital downloads and stuff when I first started. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the indicator as to whether something was going to work or not. And now it's all streaming. You know, it's just it's a big difference of how that happens. And you see a lot of the, when I first started, the industry, and especially this on the songwriter side, was very run by older songwriters. They were kind of the top dogs. Mm-hmm. And now it's completely flipped. And now it feels like younger songwriters that are in their 20s are kind of becoming the forefront of the songwriting class now. And it's kind of neat to see, but.
Do you feel like social media has a lot to do with that?
I don't know. I think technology absolutely does. Yeah. I don't know about, social media in an artist sense, yeah. But it's technology, the kids that are able to be a producer, play all the instruments, have it all on their computer, and it's not necessarily just being like a track person or anything like that. It's people that can do everything now.
Yeah.
And that just gives you a leg up in the room. You're like, oh, you need a lyric person? I can do that. Oh, you need a producer? I can do that. Oh, you need a guitar player? I can do that.
Right.
So they're more versatile writers now coming to town versus before they still have a role as lyricists and stuff do. I mean, we have a handful. Ryan, I consider a lyricist for the most part, but he can do everything as well. He's got a rig and everything. But yeah, I just think it's versatility. That's why the young people are coming.
Yeah, it's definitely changed in my time a tremendous amount, but I enjoy it. I mean, your attitude is everything. It will continue to change. It has changed. It will, you know, it's the tale as old as time. Like, it can't be the same. It has to progress somewhere, somehow. But your attitude is everything. And the minute you quit learning is the minute you might as well be done with it, you know.
Yeah.
So I sort of embrace it. I mean, you know, I definitely have my days where it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you said social media, it's great. It's amazing. There are a lot of pros to it, but there was an emphasis about getting great at what you do as far as playing, writing, singing,
right,
that we spent more of our time on than worrying about our social presence, which, you know, it's a little wild when you have someone with this amazing social presence and then you get in the room and you realize, oh, no, they're not really that good, but they have got this facade.
Reach.
And reach,
yeah.
that is. So it's wild. It's, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
There's definitely a big experience barrier in between, like, the 22-year-old that has the significant amount of followers on Instagram versus the 32-year-old that's been playing shows for 10 years, you know. When you go see them live, there's a massive difference now. They're not really on equal footing. Because this person maybe has played 5 or 6 shows their entire life, and this person has played 1,000
shows. In-person contact, obviously, more with their networking than...
Sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, somebody like me could 100% learn from somebody, you know, that has got that figured out. So that's why I'm saying embrace it, you know, roll with it. It's going to change even more in the next 5 years, maybe faster. And you're right, technology is the big pusher.
Mm-hmm.
Any closing thoughts?
Oh, I wasn't prepared for that. Lee?
About Yep? Yeah. Let's talk about Yep for like a couple more seconds.
Well, you know, I was on the founding board. It was all my idea. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't.
You were the founding board.
Yeah. I was on the founding board with Cohen, and it was in his apartment complex. It was like the first meeting, and he's like, there's a lot of my friends that can't get jobs, and I want to create an opportunity for people to get jobs. It was actually a pretty bad economy at the time, and a lot of people couldn't get jobs. And, and if you did get a job, you weren't making very much money. So that's why I had to work at security on the weekends. So it was honestly... The city's definitely improved in it, but when we first got here, there was really nothing to do after work, and there was nothing to do that connected people.
Mm-hmm.
So Yep was awesome as having these mixers just so we could get to know each other. Because before, when the industry had money, there were mixers all the time, there were shows all the time. And now there's something every night. There's Whiskey Jam, there's Why Not Wednesdays,
right,
there's Tin Roof Tuesdays. And all of that was in large part because of Yep, in my opinion. All that started because of Yep.
And it's within walking distance.
Absolutely. So now there's unlimited resources to meet, mix, mingle, do all that stuff.
This podcast is here because of Yep.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
New ideas and conversation are very, very imperative to progress, and I'm all about it. I mean, the industry's hard enough to have a network of people you can go to if you first move to town or pick someone's brain or, you know... Just meet people that are like minded.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I mean, there's
your crew.
I don't even think. Yeah, I don't even know how many people I've met through just like going to the mixers or the shows. I mean, it's got to be a majority of people I know. It's a great way to find for publishers, you know, or to find new talent, new songwriters, new artists. It's great. So I'm all for it.
Amazing. Well, thanks for doing this.
Hey, of course. Anytime.
Enjoy your trip tomorrow and your holidays.
As well.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for joining me for another Yep podcast episode. Check out yepnashville.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search Yep Nashville. We have some exciting episodes coming for you in 2019, so don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, discover, cultivate, accelerate.